The Two Man Game Podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy, Ryan Hicks, and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star hooper, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!
Welcome in to the two-man game with UNC head coach Steve Smiley. I am Brady Hull. Coach, we got a lot of big things to talk about today.
We're back.
Before we got something to go along with that. Speaking of being back, we'll get to that though.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I wanted to talk to you first. I want to get to business first because this is what we had on the agenda. I wanted to talk to you about the Puerto Rico trip. I had some questions surrounding that because I know JJ Barea and all that, you know, Nuggets assistant coach. I wanted to ask about some tie-ins there. But first off, how was the trip?
It was awesome. You know, in old school rule, one foreign trip every 4 years, right? So, you know, went to Lisbon, Portugal last year. It took us 4 years of fundraising. That was all privately fundraise. We don't get any money from the school to do these trips, and so you got to raise money for that. And we talk about a trip to Portugal, for instance, that trip's going to cost you, I can't remember what it was, but $80,000 to $100,000. So the goal was for the previous 4 years, because you're on a four-year cycle, is to try to raise 20 to 25 a year, put it away in a piggy bank, and then another 20, right? So you had enough money to do this. We don't have the capacity to say, okay, let's go raise $100,000 in 1 year and go to Europe, right? Yeah. So we had to be very intentional 4 years ago to go to Portugal. Well, how do we go to Puerto Rico this year? One, the rule changed. Now you're allowed to go on a foreign trip every year. Now, again, we don't have the money to do that, but you look at it. So if you really got deep in the weeds, the schools on the northern part of America, for instance, South Dakota, they're close to Canada. Well, what do? They took a bus or whatever and drove right up the road to play a game in Canada. Right? It's all legal. Seattle, I believe, I was talking to the head coach of Seattle in Vegas earlier this summer. They were going to go right across to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada to play a game or two. Why would you do that? One, it's great for your team. But two, you get more practices in the summer. And that's what we need is more full practices. So why do we do this, first of all? Not just to go to Puerto Rico, but it allowed us more practices. A key player on our team that wasn't up here all summer was Campbell Blogg, Australia. Couldn't get him up in the summertime. So we got him up, you know, got him checked in for school, but got him to play on a foreign trip. Critical, because now we got a couple practices in with Campbell, which was so great. Such a big thing for our program. That's like, why are you doing all this stuff, okay? Then two, kind of going to your question, where do we go to? So the trip itself, it was extremely condensed. This is not a week-long trip. We flew out Thursday. Took the guys to the beach Thursday night. We did long day of travel. No direct flights for the Bears to Puerto Rico. So we connected it in Atlanta. You know, we met at the gym at 3 a.m., which was kind of good too. Like, all right, who's going to screw this up, right? Players, coaches, whatever, myself included. We're all there 3 a.m. to drive to DIA, 4 a.m. to get on a flight at 6 a.m. You lose all that time going to the East Coast, right? So you fly all the way to Atlanta and lose 2 hours, sit in an airport for maybe 2 hours, fly there. We got to Puerto Rico like 5 o'clock at night, right? Went to this facility, which we'll talk about, JJ Barea, the jump facility. Got to the facility. That's where we ate 90% of our meals. So they gave us meals there. They have a kitchen there and all this kind of stuff. It's kind of like the old school Power to Play, so NoCo.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Future Legends, what the vision of Future Legends was. That's exactly what this is. Brand new. It's not even built out all the way yet. So they're trying to do more of this stuff. Walking down the halls, one of the first teams to train out there was Team USA Women's Basketball. Caitlin Clark, this, that, whatever. So they got pictures of the Team USA and Caitlin Clark and this and that. LMU Men's Water Polo was there too when we were there. So these guys have been there for a week. They're on the same floor. There's only 22 rooms. It's like dorms. It's like the barracks. It's the dorms. They're really nice, but it's like you're living right there. So we were not at some five-star hotel or whatever it is. We get there. They give us a meal. We load up in this little sprint bus, whatever it is, go to the beach, which is about 10 minutes away to Condado Beach. Guys hop in for a night swim, which made me nervous because, you know, there ain't no lifeguards out there. But it wasn't dark out yet, so it's like, hey, just be careful with the riptides and the currents, right? Like,
sure.
Beautiful, but it's choppy water. It's not like the Bahamas where it's just flat and calm. It's moving a little bit. Anyways, so we got there Thursday night. we played Friday. We played Saturday. We met back up at the airport. I think it was 4 a.m. Flew home Sunday. That's it. So we condensed the trip, first of all. Didn't have to raise a bunch of money for it. And then ultimately, with connections into Jump, and it wasn't a connection with the Nuggets. They were there. But connection into Jump facility and with working with a couple like key people here was that we were able to get out there. And they were using the Bears as kind of a – what's the phrase, like a beta test, a test case for future years.
Interesting.
To say, okay, let's see how this works. So our first game was at Jump Facility against a Puerto Rican professional team. We got beat. So it was against a professional team in their B League, which they were pretty good. And then the second game, we actually went offsite to play the Mets. It was just kind of a collection of guys, but it was a good team, and we actually won that second game. But they're using this as kind of a test case. How would this work and look? Because now you think about it. If you're going to play a foreign trip and you're not going to Canada, the teams in the northern part of America, but you're landlocked like us, but really the teams, let's just say, further to the south, southeast, one of the obvious spots to go to for a quick foreign trip would be Puerto Rico or the Bahamas. I think Arkansas went to the Bahamas again, right? You can see some of the stuff this summer. Teams are starting to like look at, okay, how can we get to quicker, cheaper, less wear and tear on the body jet lag trips on the years we don't go to Australia, Europe, whatever it is, how can we get to a quick hit to get a professional experience and to get more practice? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that was the impetus for us. And so many people helped us out to kind of step in and make this work. Because we had not been raising money for this. And so it was like when the opportunity got reached out to us, it's like, hey, we don't have a ton of money at all. You know, Bears are broke right now. So people stepped up, figured it out, and it was a great opportunity for our team.
Well, and the guys, you know, from our conversations last week out at practice, Coach, that was awesome. They were giddy. You know, everybody was excited about that.
Well, I hadn't really shared yet, like, what the plan. We staying at the Marriott of the Hill. No, we're staying on site at the Jump. And it was great. As a staff, they only had one coach's room built out, and they were sold out with us and LMU. So the staff stayed offsite at a hotel. But, and I kind of feel bad about this, but kind of not, that, you know, we had to really tighten down because we had to figure out how to pay for that. So it's like, okay, the guys that didn't have wives coming up, put them two to a room, right? So, you know, DG and Klopp two to a room. And that's great, but it's also, too, it's like, you know, we all love our privacy and things like that, too, right? Like just having some alone time. So DG and Klopp to a room. And then Coach Martin, our new player development coach, and our trainer, Austin Moore, two to a room. Because myself, Reed, and Colin, our wives came out, which is great. So I'm like, all right, we got to figure this out. Like we got to have, you know, supervision, CYA, on-site at Jump. But there's only one room. So I thought about it. I'm like, well, okay, there's three nights of this. There's three of us that got our wives coming out. I don't want staff dissension. So I don't want some of the staff saying, man, these guys get, you know, these room with their wife hanging out. And I got to double up all night. So I had to find a way to make this work. And what it was the first night at Jump Facility was myself and Nikki. We stayed at the facility. So it's like, you know, the coach is around, whatever. So we go out there and then we rotate and we flip rooms. The second night, Coach Reed and his wife were out there. And then the third night, Coach Colin and his wife were out there. And we were rotating the hotel rooms.
You got to make it work.
Had to make it work.
And be fair.
I do believe in that. I do believe in that. And I was like, look, okay, I'm going to take the first bullet. I'm going to stay on site. You know, everyone else is, you know, down at the beach and we're going to be there with the guys. And my wife's great. She's like, let's do it. And so it was really cool. And we had a great experience with it. I said, played two games. There's been some Twitter stuff about the Nuggets working out at J.J. Brace.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Same place. And we did get a chance. So we played Friday. They flew in Friday, just completely separate from us. From what I understand, is Aaron Gordon paid the whole bill for the team to come out there for a big team building thing, right? And then you start figuring out what's going on in Puerto Rico. Obviously, it's a really cool place. But then Bad Bunny had his final two concerts of his tour. He's from Puerto Rico. The island was like on fire. Like the energy was crazy because Bad Bunny is like Michael Jordan.
Like an icon.
He's an icon.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, you saw the Nuggets on Twitter. Like they all went to the Bad Bunny. We did not go to the concert, by the way. But And after we finished the game on Saturday and dropped the guys at the Jump facility and then took another Uber back to our place, the interstate you drive by, the concert was going on. And you could just this unbelievable how packed it was and how crazy it was. So, but yeah, it was literally a 48-hour trip. It was quicker than a Big Sky road trip, but it served its purpose exactly what we wanted for it to serve. We got to learn about this team. I know we're gonna get to the Langston thing, but we didn't know we had, you know, this length and this part of this. He wasn't on the trip. So I was like, we're just trying to figure our team out. Mm-hmm. And, hey, what better than finally to get a chance to play against some other teams? I'll tell you what, man, these Puerto Rican guys are tough. They're physical. They're skilled. They're pros. And first game on site, played a very impressive team. And I'm trying to think, you know, we're playing okay early. We're up 8. They catch us, it's tied at halftime, and we just fall apart. Now, they started hitting us with some zones and stuff, and we haven't worked in it all summer, right? So it's like we got exposed, which is exactly what you want. Well, what are you doing against the zone? I don't know, man. Let's draw something up real quick, right? So we got exposed in some areas there, extremely physical. And, but I will say this, the second game, we really responded well. Shot it extremely well, played well. Still a million things to clean up, and we're already cleaning those things up. Like, we had a little workout yesterday, and basically it was based off of Port. It wasn't about Langston. He's in there, but it's like, all right, man, let's go through, whether it's install, this, that, just a skill day, and we'll have a practice on Friday. This first week of school, I don't want to do much. I want these guys to enjoy being college students. We've worked them really hard. Let's get ingrained. But all the work right now, like we have a team meeting later on with film, it's just Puerto Rican film. Because now we got 2 weeks of great film to chop up getting to Labor Day. What a blessing. It's not about just being there. It's the before, the there, and the after that you can turn these into special things.
Well, it's the buildup, too. It's the practices leading to it, and then travel, and then going to a place and playing. But it's kind of that whole thing, and you kind of just equip everybody.
And you were there on site Tuesday, like bloodbaths. Like,
so fun.
We're working. Like, we're working. So it's like you don't know what the games are going to be. Like, you don't know what the team – like, you don't know. So it's like what you do know is we can get some great practice in ahead of time. So let's use that practice. So the whole thing was great. I think these teams, you know, learning who's going to start leading a little bit, who's bonding. I remember we had a trip a few years ago, and it was actually to Puerto Rico when we had Matt, Dalen, Dalton, Bodie, Coor, Drew, that team that lost in the Big Sky Championship. And there were some guys on that team, good kids, but you could see them kind of drifting apart in their own worlds early on. And so you start to see some things like, okay, that might be a problem, right? Like, this kid's kind of isolating himself. This kid's kind of – it might not be a big deal. Maybe they're just kind of, you know, introverted, which is fine. But you start to see some habits when you start to bring these guys to team meals and this and that. And so – and what's so great about our team is, man, these guys are really close. They really like each other. But you're watching body language. You're watching how do they interact off the floor. How do they interact and just all these little things? And you're just speeding up your learning curve, which is critical in today's new world of brand new teams.
Yeah. Well, again, I got to say the buildup was awesome for us to be able to come out there. Shout out to Aiden, our guy Derbs, keeping everybody in line. We literally got, at the time, we got every player and every coach.
It was
on
awesome.
The show. And we did it. There was a joke, though, at one point. Andrew Crawford stepped on.
Yeah.
And I think there was only like 4 minutes left in the break. And so I'm like, in the segment. So I'm only going to get like 4 minutes with Andrew.
Sure.
And so I joked with him off the air and I said, we are basing the amount of time that you get to talk based on the amount of playing time you're probably going to get.
Yeah, that's good. 4 minutes.
In the regular season.
Yeah.
And he starts laughing. I said, yeah, that was insight that coach gave us.
Yeah.
That, you know, the longer the segment, the more you're going to get to play. The shorter. Sorry, buddy. Good luck next year.
I love it. I love it.
But we had it was a great time to chat with everybody.
Yeah.
It did seem like with Campbell Blogg, just talking to some of the guys, like Egan Shields, he was giving them crap already. And I'm like, it seems like they're already bonding. Like they're already buds, man.
The whole team was here except for Campbell all summer, right? And so it's like, you know, to get him here, and he got here before because the international guy's coming in. Now you got to, again, medically clear him. You got to do all this different stuff. Got to move him in. Got to make sure the academics got to check him in. There's so much stuff for all these guys to do. But to get him in even before the foreign trip, just to get him organized, it was so great.
You look good.
Yeah. And he's going to be a really good player for us.
Well, shout out to you, by the way, because you saved my bacon on this, because he's from Melbourne, Australia.
Melbourne.
It's spelled Melbourne.
It's not Melbourne.
And I said Melbourne, and he's already like, whoa.
That's Melbourne.
You're a radio guy. You get it. And I'm like, well, actually, I got a cheat sheet.
Yeah, coach, Melbourne. But Melbourne. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Melbourne, Australia. Okay. So I'm excited about that. That was fun. However, when I said this, we got to interview almost everyone on the team. We didn't actually interview everyone on the team because, Coach, you had an announcement.
Yeah, that's
that
right.
That came yesterday.
Yeah.
That kind of rocked this area, kind of rocked the college basketball.
Oh, yeah.
This is not just a big name for the Bears. This is a big name in the NCAA.
No, you know, as we try to stay chronological, really this Langston thing was probably about, I don't know. I mean, it's been such a blur, but probably the talk with Langston 10 days ago, eight days ago, 9 days ago, this is not a 3-month, 4-month ordeal. This just kind of popped up. getting down to the very end of the summertime, and you know, he's got to make a decision to go back to college or go overseas or whatever it is. And it's almost like Brock, same thing. Brock's sitting there and you know, when the Wisney thing, and I know it's stayed right now, but when it got opened up and everyone's got all this eligibility, there were schools looking at Brock for seven figures. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to be honest about it. And he's got to make a decision. Okay, am I going to stay? Am I going to go? And, you know, he's like, you know what? I'm going to go. I'm going to go to Spain. Yeah. I want to move on to the next. And he's already there right now. But the point being is, like, there literally is a flight booked. You have to make it. There is a drop dead time, right? But really with Langston, I mean, what a blessing and what an exciting thing. And, you know, as we were in Puerto Rico is when he's like, hey, I'm in. You know, it's like, oh, my gosh. Okay, when we get back Sunday night, like, we actually had an emergency staff meeting in the Atlanta airport Sunday, and we're just delirious. We're tired. We've had two mornings where we have to get up at 2, 3 in the morning to catch flights, you know, change the time zones, play two games, the film breakdown. I mean, it's a lot. And by the way, school started Monday. So Sunday, it's like, hey, when we get to Atlanta, we got to sit down and figure all this stuff out. And so it's all great. It's all good news. But this just popped up kind of quickly, and ultimately – when other schools were looking at Lang, we were talking to other schools to try to help him out. It was like, okay, the best option for you, not to get too deep in the weeds, but the best option for you is if you don't want to go overseas, come back here. And the kicker is get your UNC degree. This is the kicker to the whole thing. He's so close to getting his degree. And I kept saying it for years. And it was like, well, do you think the 5-5 is good and this and that? I think it is good. Big picture. Because with the way college basketball is right now, with the transfer – forget the money, right? The money's whatever. But the transfer portal, these guys are bouncing around here to here to here to here to here to here. My guy Ring Neary, love him. UMKC to UNC to Wake Forest. It's awesome, right? But guess what? For all these guys, as they're moving around, you're probably not bringing in every credit from every institution previously. And that's exactly what we're going to see. Big picture is graduation rates are going to decline like crazy if people keep transferring – every year, every other year, right? And I don't see that changing unless the big picture stuff changes, protect college sports X, who knows, right? But right now, you could transfer every year with no penalty, right? So if you can transfer every year with no penalty, that's great and no issues, but it's at the downside is academically, your credits might not all move into the next place. Jaron really came in from Sanford, elite academic institution. Some of his credits didn't come in because they didn't fit into our degrees. Mm. So it's not about, well, this school is better than this school. Like, it's not about that. If your credits from your previous school don't match the next school, you might not get them in. And what is happening is to graduate a kid in 4 years is extremely, I think, is going to be extremely hard to do if they transfer multiple times. If they stay at the school for 4 years, no issue. But if they're moving around, I'm telling you, it's going to be hard. And so the Langston thing, when we're talking about, like, the best opportunity is you're so close to getting a UNC degree. What are we doing? And he was great. I mean, who knows? Like, you know, hey, man, he's been away for a year. He was awesome at Minnesota. I mean, you start looking at his stuff. Third leading scorer, led him in assists, 10th most assists in the history of Minnesota, 150 assists. The rebounding, 22 against Iowa, double-double against Northwestern. Like, this is a made man in the high major world. So to get him back, there haven't been many of these players that have done this. The only other one I could think of just happened yesterday, too. Utah Valley, WAC Player of the Year, 24-25. I think he went to Iowa State, played Iowa State. He's going back to Utah Valley to finish his fifth year under this current rule. This just happened yesterday, like 30 minutes after our news dropped. So you're seeing a little bit of it. But most of the time, once you get up to that level, you're not coming back to this level. And so for Lang, he's kind of a trailblazer, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Well, and this is what I've been talking a lot about on the whole show is, you know, we got craziness going on in the NCAA.
Craziness.
You got Cleveland Browns players that are on the preseason going back to college, going to LSU. Lane Kiffin certainly seems like the bad guy right now.
Yeah.
Now, that's where I get a little passionate about this.
Oh, yeah.
But with Langston's case, and before Brock signed the contract to go to Spain, I was very much like, those players that they told in the spring that, hey, this is not going to pertain to you if you enrolled in 2022 into college, I thought was absolutely insane. I like the 5-for-5 rule. I really do.
Yeah.
But even in a good attempt by the NCAA, I thought they botched it by simply screwing over that 2022 class. So I look at Langston's case and I say, this is exactly what I think is fair. Now, I know the NCAA is going to keep...
Who knows? Yeah, this thing's going to go... It's going to go all over the place now. And I don't have a crystal ball, but going backwards, before Brock and Langston, and again, to be clear, the kids, Brock and Langston... I say kids, the men, right, the young adults that came to college in the year 2022, right? They played 4 years, okay? They didn't redshirt. Langston didn't redshirt, nor did Brock.
4 straight years.
Right. They played 4 years. Currently, when the NCAA made them, they said those guys don't get it. Don't get a fifth year.
Okay. Ridiculous.
Going backwards, though, and we all forget, like, recency bias. Almost every player before them got a fifth year because of a thing called COVID.
Yep.
They got a COVID year. Quinn Danker, he got a fifth year last year because of the Pavia case, the junior college case. Pavia. So not to paint with a broad brush, but so many players before that class got a fifth year. Now, class of 2026 moving onwards, Madden Smiley, they get 5 years. New rule. They get 5 years to play 5 years. Every current player –
if you were like a junior getting ready to be a senior or whatever.
Yeah, every current player, I don't know, Egan Shields, Vince Delano, they get a fifth year.
They tack it on.
They tack it on. Yep. The only class that really doesn't get a fifth year is 2022.
Yeah.
And again, it's, I don't know where this thing goes. It's all over the place with lawsuits, state, federal, who knows? Like, this could go a million different ways. But theoretically, that's why this all happens, because 2022, and it's crazy, it's the Brock Wisney case. His was federal. But that was the idea of saying, hold on, all the athletes before, and this is not a men's basketball, this is every sport, every NCAA sport. All athletes before us got a fifth year with COVID, or Pavia, or whatever it is. All athletes after us get a fifth year. All athletes currently in get a fifth year. This is the class that doesn't get a fifth year. So that's why the case and the lawsuit popped up initially. And going back to Langston and Brock, is that, you know, those athletes that had the foresight to get in the portal, knowing, like, well, you're already graduated, but, you know, or you're not graduated, but you finished fourth year. Langston was in the portal. So he checked that box. Okay, he's in the portal, did that. So, and there's some players that have committed for a fifth year that weren't in the portal. They're going to have to fight that fight. There's all kinds of fights. But it's going to be interesting to see where it goes. But I just, you know, looking at it and obviously talking to different people in the industry and as an example, Texas Tech, and, you know, Jeff Linder's one of my best friends, and they've got like five of the most highest profile guys that fit into the somehow, some way getting a fifth year. Darren Williams, who was first team all big, what are they, Big 12, right?
Yeah.
And left and went to NC State for his fourth year. He's back. That's all public knowledge. Atwell, who was their sniper, he's back, fifth year. Stillwell, back. Transferred, I think, from wherever it was, Oklahoma State or something like that. So it's like none of us really know what's going to happen here. But, you know, as of today, I look at it, I'm like, okay, Lang is coming back, which is the greatest news in the world. Montana State just got their best player back, Jed Miller, from last year. He's already played 4 years. Mm-hmm. So they're in the same boat. He committed to come back for a fifth year. Utah Tech, which I don't know the roster as well, but they're coming to the Big Sky. 2 days before Jed Miller, their best player, who's a big guy, who's, you know, never say he'll be a preseason all big guy. I don't know who he is. I guess he's really good. He's coming back for a fifth year. So we're not unique in the situation, right? I can lump us in and kind of follow what's going on in Montana State. Jed Miller and Langston Reynolds in the same California lawsuit. It's identical. So it's like, okay, I really believe these guys will play, but I don't know. I don't have the crystal ball. I believe they're going to play.
We were getting so many people during the show yesterday, and I've seen on social media. And I guess I always look at it like this. If Coach Smiley's taking this chance with Langston, you know, I always, because you buy the book, you know, and I'm not just saying this because you're in front of me on the podcast, but I know you do your due diligence.
Yeah.
You're not going to jump into any gray areas. This is one that sure seems like, for Langston's case, Brock's case might be different if suddenly somehow he's like, oh, I'm not going to play at Spain. But Langston's case, it makes total sense to keep this, and I hope the NCAA backs off on this one.
Yeah.
But they need to put their focus on these dudes that are playing in preseason
Let's say you're, you know, in Greece, playing for 2 months in Greece. And then you come. Langston was 45 minutes south in Denver 2 days ago and drove up here.
Because he didn't sign any kind of pro contract.
From what I understand. I have no idea. So, like,
Summer league or anything like
no
that.
No summer league. None of that stuff. Also, if you start to hear, like, in – you know, the SEC and the, you know, everyone's coming out and saying, okay, well, if you're an NBA guy or you're a G League guy, like, they're starting to, the leagues are starting to make rules too. I had the focus to go to Summer League. You remember this?
Yeah.
To see Quinn, Langston, St. Isaiah. I saw St. play. Quinn didn't get a crack at it. He was out there. We had a nice meal out there, but he was doing workouts. He didn't play. He didn't get picked up. Langston, for whatever reason, didn't play. Isaiah didn't play either. So the only guy I got to see in the summer league was Saint. And so, like, again, that might have been a fortuitous, very, very lucky bounce. But I just look at it and say, like, Xavion Lee, who was Florida's one of their best players last year, he just announced today that he's going to Gonzaga. Okay. He did play in the summer league. There's stats out there. So I don't know. I don't know where any of this stuff goes. But I think the less it's like, okay, well, if we had 15 guys, couldn't take him. I only had 14. You're allowed 15. That's your cap. If he wasn't in the portal when you need to be in the portal, would have made this harder. If he's sitting in Greece right now, would have been harder. He was in Denver. So, like, everything that needed to check the box, okay, this is the best-case scenario for us, all those boxes checked. And, again, it's still fluid now on a national sense. But I really believe these guys are going to be able to play. I do.
I mean, you go about this then planning accordingly, like Langston in your mind 100% is going to be here. The way you're developing your roster, your lineup, and all that stuff,
but
that's how you're doing it.
But even when we talked to our team, when we broke the news Monday, Langston already signed. He wasn't here, but he'd signed. And he was going to drop the news. It didn't happen until yesterday morning, Wednesday morning. But it's like, hey, this is going to leak quick. So I'm like, Lang, I'm telling the guys in a team meeting, you know, once you sign. So I put the guys in and talked to him. And I basically, before I dropped the news about Langston, tried to paint the picture. They're like, okay, look, teams are adding guys that have spots. Jed Miller. And everyone comes up to you and says, well, you know, they're cutting guys to add guys. You can't do that. You have to be below your 15 cap. That's a big thing, too. Well, who did you cut to add Langston?
Yeah, talk to me about that, Coach, because right, there is a lot of people that say, oh, this program, they're just going to cut that guy.
You can't.
Coaches, are we taking care of players so much when coaches can just cut a guy at any
moment? You can't. 2 years ago, when these people came into this rev share model, if you are going to rev share, you have to opt in. That was the phrase, opt in or opt out. Well, almost everyone's opted in. If you opt in men's basketball, you are capped at 15 guys. Whether you give 15 guys $40 million or you give them $0, it doesn't matter. You can have 15 guys. That's it. We used to carry 16 guys, right? We dropped it to 14 guys this year for budget reasons. We're like, well, I don't want to carry 15 guys. We got to cut back our budget. I'm not talking about NIL, travel budget. Less hotel rooms, less flights, less meals, less gear, right? So we cut our budget back. We're carrying 14 guys. That was always the goal and always the intention. That's what we told these guys. So when you get the opportunity to get Langston back, we didn't cut anybody. We actually just had a miracle spot opened up we actually could do this. We can get to 15. We had no intention of doing this, but shoot, for one of our own, right? This is a 6-year relationship. Yeah. And he needs a degree. Like, let's get this done. So that's how that works, the 15. But talking to our guys, I was like, hey, look, I put a picture up of the Jed Miller tweet and the Utah Tech guy tweet and things like that. I was like, some guys told him, said, guys, I had no intention of doing this, but we're going to add a guy in for the 15th spot. And they're looking around. I put a picture of Langston up. And again, it's like, who knows? Like, these guys have been together for nine weeks. They've been working so hard. We have a really good team already. So it's like, how is this going to kind of work? Are they going to embrace him with open arms? And is he going to have a humble heart to jump into this team? And absolutely, that's the goal, right? But as we told him too, said, hey, look, he is eligible right now. California lawsuit. This thing's going to roller coaster all around. So we are preparing. As he's part of this, he's going to be here tomorrow, and we're going to start practicing whatever it is. But at the same point in time, you never know, right? It's just we always talk about TGOA, the great ones adjust. Hey, we're here. Langston's back with us. Montana State, you know, Coach Logie's in the same situation, saying, well, Jed Miller's back with us, but you never know.
Yeah.
This, what I do like about this, though, is we don't play games till November.
Yeah, so there's time if the worst-case scenario does
Best. Worst, it doesn't matter. Best, yeah. Worst, whatever the case is, there's time. These lawsuits are going all over, right? This that got stayed. This is injuncted. I don't understand this legal stuff to a great degree, we have time. If it was football, I would be terrified. Best or worst, should I play this guy? Should I not?
We got games this weekend. And that's right. Real, official, like, all the games are next weekend.
Our Bears play tomorrow night. So, for us, as a winter sport, we're blessed. And again, the spring sports have the best situation, the baseballs and softballs and things like that, because they got like 8 months. We got like 3 months to see where this thing goes, because it's going to go somewhere, right? I just feel great about it. You know, there's a little bit of risk on all sides, right? But at the same point in time, it's like there is no risk, because worst case scenario is Langston Reynolds, he's going to get a degree.
Yeah.
And that's what we need. We need him to get that degree, and he's excited about that. So he's so excited. I think he's in shock, and we're all in shock. This was not a 3-month. This happened in like a matter of days.
It's funny, Coach. Now, again, I'm excited about a lot of these, all those players, getting to know them a little bit last week. I'm pumped about it. But I think we've even talked about it. This is the before Langston. This was the first year in a while that I remember not looking at your roster, saying there's an obvious Big Sky Conference of the Year player of the year candidate.
Yep.
That's not to say,
and we got some of those guys, but it's going to take time to emerge.
We got some of those. Some of them will be there.
You're right.
But as far as like saying there's an obvious, because you know last year you could obviously look at Quinn Danker, Brock Wisney, Zach Block.
Yep.
You know, Jaron Riley, Langston. Yes.
St. Thomas.
The list goes on. You look at this roster and go, there's a lot of great pieces, and
that's right.
Two or three of those guys could not surprise us necessarily, but jump up and
that's
be
right.
one of those guys. Because I didn't expect Quinn Danker to be that guy 2 years
ago. No one
did.
I give you a great story on that, not to cut you off, but you know, I was talking to one of our big time supporter donor guys, and we were having a meal at the dugout after Jaron graduated. He's like, "Who's gonna be our point guard next year?" It's like Quinn Danker. He's like, "Really?" I'm like, "Just wait. Wait till you see how good he is." He's like, "You sure?" I'm like, "Just wait." And I joked with that guy to today. He's like, "Man, you were right." Cause he's like, I was like, "Yeah, you never know until they have." Jed Miller's the same way at Montana State. And it's just kind of recency bias. Good player. Next thing you know, he was a really good player. Yeah, but no one knew that. Opportunities there for our entire team, even with Langston back, like opportunities there. But who's going to merge? Yeah. I don't know. But, well, like, we got guys.
And that's when you look at it and say, the obvious, because I think Langston already is going to be candidate for Big Sky Conference Player of the Year. He probably should. He was close.
Should have been 2 years ago. Yeah, absolutely.
So we're going to get that campaign going. Coach, what else do you want to get? Is there anything else that we missed?
Well, just school year. We're talking about hoop stuff, man. You know, school year started. We got back Sunday night. Classes started Monday. And really, our folks right now, we were going to practice one time tomorrow. We didn't do anything Monday, Tuesday. This is Thursday, but we started lifting Wednesday, just to get their bodies moving again. But Puerto Rico and the travel and the grind, like, we're like, hey, let's just take a couple days off. Like, the way that we like to phase this in slowly in the fall. Now there's a little bit more urgency to kind of get Langston re-ingrained and try to figure out what we're doing that way. But, academics right now, guys are getting into class. There's so many things that start with the fall semester, academics, housing, basic stuff, financial aid stipends, things like that. There's a lot of moving pieces regardless. So we don't want to like overdo the practices and team meetings. We want to kind of slow roll into this fall semester because we've already had 8 weeks and we had this quick trip to Puerto Rico. But there is an urgency. And the two things that we have two mantras with this team right now, this is even pre-Langston, but it's at the end of the summer. It's like, one, it's a race to maturity. That's been the thing. I asked guys in Puerto Rico, it's a race to what? Maturity. They're kind of rolling their eyes, but it is. Because we have a good team, we have a talented team, but we're not mature yet. We're like a green banana, and it's got to get a little bit more yellow. You don't want to get all the way ripe, because once you start getting ripe, you're going to rot, right? But like we got to mature a little bit. And then the same thing too is like we have to have an urgency. I'm reading this crazy Elon Musk book right now. It's like 600 pages. It's wild. But like one of his things is maniacal urgency, and he has some maniac to him, but. We don't need maniacal urgency, but we need an urgency. Like we always talk about sense of urgency. So it's a race of maturity, and then it's urgent but not panicked. We need to be urgent. Right. We're not panicked, but we need urgency. Like we don't know how to run our stuff. We don't know how – like there's so many things. And if we want to show up and hit this thing running in November, right, and our schedule's out there now, Brady. You know, we want to give Arizona State a run. We want to – we're playing BYU. Like, we want to give Stanford a run.
Fun schedule.
It's fun, but it's hard.
Yeah.
We want to compete against South Dakota State in Rapid City. We want to have some great things happen in Cancun. We play College of Charleston. That's the fifth winningest program in the history of college basketball. You might not have known that. I didn't either.
I didn't know that until
I found a way to play them. The fifth winningest program in the history of basketball. And they've had 55 straight sellouts. You want to go compete against those guys? We need some urgency. Because, like, you know, we're just this kind of – I love our guys, love our team, but like we're not there yet, right? And this is even pre-Langston. So we need an urgency to what we're doing. We got to build some bodies up. Like these guys, whether it's nutrition, weight room, whatever it is, we need some guys that got to put some weight on.
Yeah,
we got punked in Puerto Rico, to be honest with you, in the first game, just physically just manhandled. Like, whoa. So I was like, hey, man, you might want to eat your Wheaties, right? Like we got about 5 weeks. Like we need you to get three pounds, 5 pounds, right? Like some of these guys, not all of them, but some of them. So there's got to be an urgency, and we've got to get mature. And that's a big thing for us.
Well, I'm excited. I was excited about this roster after our discussion last week. And then we throw Langston Reynolds in there. And, boy, this could be a very, very fun season. Coach, tomorrow night, Friday night, going to be a lot of fun. We'll be setting up shop out there. Come say hello. We're going to be in the north end zone.
So you've been in the north. Are you guys going to be part of the tailgating stuff too?
Tailgate. We're going to be, we're setting up the tent out there.
Okay.
We'll be,
good to know.
Our guy Bruce Dick's going to start us off at 10 o'clock. So okay. He'll be doing a show and then we'll be live. And then the idiot fellas around here will be doing another show 2 to 4. So we'll be having some fun.
You will see us out there. The team will be out there. We will have a little practice tomorrow. We'll be catting around. We got a recruit on campus. Can't say who it is because that'll put me in violation territory. But we have a recruit coming up. Our whole team's going to be out there. There's a vibe right now. There's an excitement.
It's a fun vibe.
And
man.
So, yeah, let's see how it goes.
You got that vibe. You got the Langston vibe.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a big week.
It's been a big week.
UNC Bears.
And that's what we need. We need UNC. Yep. We need excitement and news and. All that kind of stuff.
We're pumped.
We're ready
to go. Coach.
So are we. All right.
Appreciate you. Hey, I'm going golfing today.
Really?
Yeah. Any pointers?
Just get the ball in the air.
That's why I'm wearing the hat.
Start with that. Yeah, get the ball in the air, and then we just roll. Where are you playing at?
We're going to the Eaton Country Club.
I've never played there, but I heard it's really cool.
Come out there with us one of these.
No,
days.
I will sometimes. So yeah. Have you played this summer at all?
No. This will be my first time this year. Yeah. It's been over a year since I went. The last time I think it was the Prairie Dog Classic last year.
Just get the ball in the air.
So.
And once you get that, then you can make some adjustments.
Yeah, we'll see.
And remind yourself that golf's an extremely hard game.
Oh, yeah.
And don't get frustrated.
Yeah.
Because a game that's that hard that you play once a year, maybe you're great, but you're probably going to have some struggles.
Good and just chance I'm not. Yeah.
Put a smile on, have some fun with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll gear up for you. All right, Coach.
All right, Brady.
I'll update you later on what's going on with that. We'll catch up with you next week.
Go Bears.
The Two-Man Game Podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy, Ryan Hicks, and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star hooper, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!